sort of rounded things we feel are kind of friendly. I was going to say maternal then. We're getting onto dodgy ground now, aren't we? Is it about...
Maybe. Sort of
rounded things we're sort of drawn to. God, I'm digging a hole here. Like, just font finder, do?
So you can screenshot a font and it will try its best to like find the font or a similar font.
Mm.
But a lot of the time it will suggest fonts are like $300.
Yeah, and it's just like, it's what? Like, it's quite a lot of fonts. If you change it from metrics, you can then change certain characters.
Mm.
And most fonts aren't kerned correctly. To a designer's eye, like, you can go, oh, that's off, and you kern it. And then, but I suppose most people would just, you know, just go over their head.
Hello, and welcome to Well, You're the Designer, a podcast about what it's like to be a professional graphic designer, what's needed to build a career, and how cultural movements feed through to everyday design. Our panel for this podcast consists of Oscar Jackson and Elise Collins. Oscar works alongside me in the Solo Press marketing team, helps us get people passionate about print. He is a versatile graphic designer whose work covers branding, web content, email design, printed materials, and even large format displays. Elise designs for the SolarPress Design Service, fielding diverse briefs from clients looking to create effective materials and maximise return on their investment in print. The service also offers broader branding support, so Elise's days often involve working on logos and online content too. My name is Danny Powell, and though I'm not a designer myself, I've worked alongside designers for pretty much my whole career, and it's an honour to be here bringing some insight into their fascinating world to you listeners. Today we're talking about typefaces, and in this episode I will be mainly irritating designers everywhere by using the words typeface and font interchangeably. So should we clear that one up quickly before we start? Is a font a typeface? Are they the same?
That's the way you look at me. So basically, what I understand, is that a typeface is the family, so to speak. So say, for example, Helvetica is a font.
Mm.
Is that right? Hold on.
Yeah, Helvetica would be the typeface.
And then the font is Helvetica Bold.
Yeah, Helvetica. Right. Grotesque.
So it's the different weights within that family.
Yeah.
Right.
But I think it's all weird. I think we should just call it fonts.
Because that's how, I suppose, when you're, like, I don't know how it worked with you, but like growing up, going on like Microsoft Word and you just look through the fonts. You never, you don't look through typefaces.
And there's that website called The Font.
Yeah, and, like, The Font. Yeah.
Yeah, like... Font free or whatever.
Yeah, it's
Adobe
not.
Adobe fonts.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you don't Adobe typefaces.
Yeah, I suppose it's just more of a posher word.
Yeah. Ooh, wow, that's a new graphic.
But I guess that's why font has come to mean everything, because we're used to those programs, those drop-down menus.
Yeah.
You've got all the fonts there.
Yeah, I'd say so.
As well as all the little bits in brackets about extra bold. Yeah.
Yeah, all the different weights. And
so if a font... So if a typeface has only one weight, is that a font or is that a typeface?
Oh, I suppose if it has a family of weights.
If it doesn't have a it's just...
Then it would... Oh, question.
Question.
Mm.
Yeah.
Question for the listeners.
Yeah, it's like, you know, is Emma Raducanu a team? No, she's not.
No, that's true, actually. I suppose it would be a font.
Yeah.
Can you name a typeface that just is just that?
Impact.
Impact.
Oh no, Comic Sans has bold, doesn't it?
I think, yeah, Comic Sans has bold. Actually, Impact might be, because you can...
Yeah, because it's just really big. It's just chunky, isn't it?
Chunky, yeah.
Yeah.
You could be right there, don't you?
Oh, I can't believe I pulled that out.
We
might
done.
Be wrong, though.
Yeah, I'm gonna look into this.
Well, someone will tell us, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Do get in touch and
let us know.
Engage with us. Let us know how wrong we are about things. It's interesting there when we were just given an example, and Helvetica was like the first thing that comes out. I know that's designers love that, don't they?
Just so versatile, that font, isn't it? And it's just beautiful, clean, crisp Swiss design for me. Yep. It's my go-to. In designing things.
I haven't had many opportunities to use it, but when I do get to use it, it's quite a nice font. But everyone, what's the other one everyone else likes?
Gotham.
No, is it Din?
Din, yeah. It's tall Din. And narrow.
Yeah.
There's, yeah.
There is so many nice sans serifs out there.
They're just, it's, I think typography in general is to get the message across. So it's how to communicate effectively. So it's got to be legible and readable. So the best way to get that across, that what's the word, that trans... what's the word? When it's like...
Transmit?
Yeah. Your meaning? You're trying to, like, the emotion with it through time.
Oh, right, yeah.
That's what I was trying to say, yeah.
I think with Helvetica as well, yeah. I think, did you say this, that it could be used for most genres?
Yeah, it's so versatile.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's just so good.
And that's part of the sort of Swiss style, isn't
it?
Yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah. That's quite popular right now.
It's always, I think, with Swiss design as well, it's primarily based on, I think, I'm sure the name of it was Accidents Grotesque, and it was from a font foundry. I think, base me on it, but I think his name was Gerthold or something, and it actually came from that typeface, Accidents Grotesque, and then through the years it's changed into Helvetica as we know it now. But it's also been developed into Helvetica New, which is a new version of it, but primarily the crux of it is the same. But even, I think Helvetica is used in so many brands now that it's so popular. Like, I'm sure American Airlines have always used that Helvetica New as theirs. And I think the iPhone also had Helvetica New at one point in one of the software updates.
And those sans serif fonts, I suppose, are they clearer because there's just less detail in them? A serif's a bit of noise around the edge.
Aren't serifs meant to be more legible? Is that why they use them in books?
Yeah, I suppose with when you go back to like the Gutenberg press and things, it was all down to serif fonts because that was the time it was made. So it was all actual hand carved type that had serifs, but
and emulating written
exactly
handwriting.
Yeah. So then, actually, through the years, it's just sans serifs have become more popular and more modern. Yeah. Whereas now, like, if we was to design something that you want to do, like, you have to think of audience. So if it was more of something for, say, a care home, the audience age range, you'd probably opt for a serif font because
that's what they're used to.
Yeah. It's probably easier for them to read. Whereas a little bit more younger audience, you'd go for a sans serif. So it's like...
Depends on what,
yeah, the audience.
Am I right in saying that with Helvetica, all the lines are a sort of consistent thickness all the way around, aren't they?
Same weight.
Because on some fonts, you have sort of bulgy bits and skinny bits.
It's so annoying.
And the counters are different, and there's like a whole anatomy of type.
Is it like the glyphs as well? And like, you know, in the top of the box is
higher. Oh, the X height.
Yeah.
You have the X height, which is like the main height of it. Mm. It all runs on the baseline. Yeah. There's like so many words for like the anatomy of it. It's insane.
A deep subject, isn't it?
Like, typography is like a whole new, like, you could do a master's in it.
Yeah, it's just, probably could.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Yeah. Speaking of ones that have got bulgy bits, we've had the easy storage unit open up down the road near Solar Press. And I think it brought up some feelings for Rich the other day about the typeface, because that's very recognisable across that Easy brand, as well as obviously the bright orange.
Mm.
They have that Easy Jet, obviously. I think that's what they started out as, wasn't there? I looked it up and it said it was Proxima Nova Extra Bold.
No.
It's not?
No.
That must be like the... titles,
maybe all their like, copy, like maybe they use copy. That for their copy. Yeah.
So what's Proxima Nova Extra Bold like?
That's just a sans serif, like a tall, narrow sans serif font.
Oh,
I'm
right,
sure
okay.
EasyJet's Cooper Black.
So I've probably looked up. I've probably looked up what typeface they use, but actually that's a logo, isn't it? It's a word mark.
Yeah.
And the word mark is
Cooper Black.
Cooper Black,
I think.
Yeah.
I think so.
And I'm I think Rich's issue with it was that they've spoilt it for everyone because they've made it so recognisably.
If you
them.
Use it, then everyone's going to assume.
Especially, that's the EasyJet font.
Yeah,
exactly. Especially if it's put in orange. and white. It's just, that's yeah, it, well, isn't it? Yeah. It's tarnished.
Yeah, yeah. You just can't do that.
No.
I mean, I don't really find myself using it much, I guess.
I suppose the only time I've seen it, that font, is on a Beach Boys album.
It's quite like a funky font, isn't it?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It'd have to be on something quite fun and
yeah,
crazy and maybe yeah. She'll, I don't know, part, I don't know.
So it's not Funeral Homes?
God, no.
Yeah.
No, no.
Maybe my, I don't know. My.
Yeah, I suppose as well, the way they've written it, because obviously the Easy is all lowercase, then it's the capital J for yeah. Jet,
and then
isn't
E-T lowercase, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, so it's like, if you see all the Easy brands are lowercase and then a capital, like a sentence case. So
yeah.
Having it in that style, they have just completely, that's their stamp, isn't it? Yeah. That's just them. That's their brand.
I'm so over capitals in the middle of letters.
Oh.
I guess it was, is it Apple started that with yeah. iPhone, iPod?
Yeah. I suppose they did. Yeah.
Yeah. And then of course everyone else jumps on it and it stops being special.
Yeah, because everyone's
starts
doing
getting,
it.
Starts being naff.
Yeah.
But then I guess brands get stuck with it, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
But was it, what is it makes Cooper Black fun? Is it the sort of bulginess?
Roundness. It's just a friendly looking font, isn't it?
With like a rounded, chunky serif, like it's got a boot on,
yeah.
isn't
yeah.
it?
It's like, just a fun looking, friendly.
It is friendly, yeah.
It doesn't like, it's not a scary looking font, I don't know, like.
No. And I suppose the counters in it are quite squidged as well. It's not like a big rounded geometric counter. They are quite tight, aren't they? Which kind of makes it more like it's hugging you. Yeah. It's friendly and a friendly
Do
hug.
Do you reckon they've done that because it looks like clouds almost? Could that be the...
That's a really good point.
So like, yeah.
I didn't even think of that. Yeah.
I wouldn't say it looks like clouds exactly, but it's like...
Yeah, he kind of infers that, doesn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. Maybe that's why they went for that font.
Yeah.
So sort of rounded things we feel are kind of friendly. I was going to say maternal then. We're getting onto dodgy ground now, aren't we? Is it about boobs?
Maybe.
So rounded things we're sort of
yeah.
drawn to. God, I'm digging a hole here. And something a bit more severe and
I think,
spiky.
Yeah, in general design, yeah. That's yeah. like if you have like a logo with sharp corners, it's probably going to be quite a serious... But if it's like a rounded edge or a rounded, it's more of a fun company, I guess. Like,
yeah.
Have you ever heard of the Booba Kiki effect?
No, what is this?
The Booba Kiki effect. It's, I don't know whether it would have been a linguist or someone devised this kind of experiment thing where there's two characters that are illustrated and one of them is sort of bulgy and round looking and one of them is spiky like what that whoever that spiky Mr. Man was, Mr. Sneeze
oh,
or someone
yeah, yeah yeah the orange one
yeah
yeah
is he orange
oh no
anyway
I do not know
yeah any Mr. Men experts please do get in touch so they had these two characters, roundy one, spiky one, and they asked people they said their names were Booba and Kiki.
Right.
And they asked people what they were called. And everyone thought the round one was called Booba. And everyone thought the spiky one was called Kiki.
Because of the sound of it.
Yeah.
The word.
Yeah.
Because people have this
association. I can associate with that. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a bit psychology.
Like, yeah. Well, I mean, in the sort of early 20th century, is it? We get sort of post-structuralist linguistics. There's this idea that... words and ideas that there's a sign which is what represents the idea and then there's the signified which is the idea themselves and that there doesn't have to be a link between them, it's completely arbitrary, but then ideas like the Booba Kiki effect makes you think, well, maybe that's not true, maybe there is a link.
Yeah,
I guess the counter argument to that would be it doesn't have to be Kiki, it could be Tika or something
yeah.
like that. So there is a sort of arbitrariness between it. It's not
yeah.
necessarily linked, but
yeah.
there is
isn't
associations really strong.
The
there,
soft
isn't it?
Sound and the.
It's amazing yeah. that you can, because when you said it, I was kind of thinking, well, the sharp, spiky one is going to be that one.
Yeah. Kiki, but, yeah. I was thinking that.
Yeah.
So with typefaces, if we're looking for a friendly one, we're looking for a Booba one.
Yeah,
exactly. If we're looking for something a bit more formal or with
sharp,
maybe that has a warning to it or something yes. like that, you might go for a kiki.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No,
that is actually a good like analogy. So yeah.
Yeah, it's true because I think even down to like our like UK road signs, that font was designed by someone, and I'm sure her name was, I think her surname's Calvert, Margaret Calvert, I think. And the amount, the progress and knowledge and education that went into trying to find what would be a good, whether it be serif or sans serif, to for people at fast speeds going down a road, what can they see quickly? And in the end, it was a sans serif, but they kind of altered and changed the letter forms to whether it was like started off as bold, started off and then went to like light to then see what worked best. And it's them sort of things that just changing the type, just that almost slightly, you just, it clicks with the brain, like, oh, yeah.
I guess with a lightweight, you just in terms of visibility, there's less to see.
Yeah.
But then bold, it just might become a block of white.
Exactly.
So there's some kind of sweet spot in the middle.
Yeah.
Where you're driving down the motorway, you can actually read it.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Because I suppose like stop signs, you want something that's like all caps.
Yeah.
And a sans serif. Yeah. That's just a go-to.
I saw a thing on LinkedIn, it was like kerning in fonts for people with dyslexia. And I was like, they close up the font and like dyslexic people couldn't even tell what it said. It was just like, can't read this.
No, exactly.
So you also got to like be very careful of how close you close a font.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that also depends on the style of thing you're working on.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, because I know Comic Sans gets a bad rep, but it does have the A in that form that helps with dyslexia.
Yeah.
So it has a good purpose in that respect. It suits a purpose.
So we're talking about that sort of open...
Yeah, the open A with the stem.
It's quite curly.
It's like, well, this is, me and Rich were saying this before because he was saying...
Oh, it's just A in a line, isn't it?
Yeah. So that's the A, the Comic Sans A. But then when he said that, when he did the book, and he, him and Matt was illustrating the book he did, he had to choose which font to use, what was best. Yeah. But he opted for one with the double...
With the little curl at the top.
Yeah, the curl at the top with the counted A. Because apparently for kids, they seem to read that easier because that's how they're taught. At school.
Yeah.
That's interesting because presumably they're taught to write them the other way.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah.
Like with the kick.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you remember
that? A with the kick.
Yeah.
That's what I remember learning it.
Well, it's not as long ago for you as it is for me.
You know, like curly cur.
The kicking K.
They call it a cur still, don't they? It's like cur with a kick.
Yeah, see, like, that's phonetics, isn't it?
Yeah, because it's how you pronounce words, right? It's not how you say the letter. It's weird.
Yeah.
I guess it makes sense, doesn't it? There's all sense to this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, when my kids went through all that at school and they start coming home talking about split digraphs and things like that, I mean, I did what English at university. I haven't got a clue what they're on about.
Yeah, what is that? Like that. Yeah.
I've never even heard of that.
They're getting more advanced.
Yeah.
Well, I think a digraph is a grouping of two letters, and I guess a split one is where there's something in between them.
Right.
But I only know that because...
Is that like L-Y's and stuff? It's not...
Would that be where an E changes the sound of the previous vowel, but there's something in between them? I'm on shaky ground here, and I only know because my kids told me when they were six. But
I don't have kids. No,
that's amazing.
So what about personal favourites? Have you got go-tos? Because there's so many. If you've got a job come in and there's tens of thousands of fonts in the world, you know, you could just spend a year cycling through them, couldn't you?
There is so many like good fonts, but obviously I work on the marketing team, so I've got a brand I have to stick to, so I don't really get to explore as much.
So what is Solar Press? What is the Solar Press?
What is the font? It's Rotunda. I don't know if we're allowed to expose. Yeah, we had a little brand change going on. Matt, he found Rotunda. It's a really nice font. So
just, what was it before that? Yeah.
It was so we had Open Sans for copy and headers. Right. It's quite a boring font, in our opinion, mine and Matt's. We thought this font just looks so dull. It's just like something about it. I think it has a little, you know, there's bits where it goes thin and big and just, yeah. So we went and looked, found Rotunda, so that's a new font.
It's got more consistent line thickness throughout all the letters.
Yeah, it's just like nice to look at. I don't know what to say. It's just nice to look at. It's quite a balanced font.
Rotunda is quite a boober name. Yeah. It's not a kinky name, is it?
It is, yeah.
It's rounded quite a and font. Soft.
Yeah.
But I had a phase, like when I do like sport design or anything like energetic, I'd use the font Akira. Have
you heard of that? I've not heard of that one.
It's like the really thick font.
Right.
Like, sort of almost looks stretched.
Yeah.
Is that to do with the graphic novel Akira? Is it the Japanese?
I have no idea. I got it off thefont.com.
Yeah. Right, oh, so it's a free font?
Yeah, I believe so.
A commercial use and...
I don't know, but it's all personal stuff, this would be. Yeah. But, like, you see it everywhere as well. You see a
really?
Lot of, yeah, like, streetwear.
Oh, okay.
Like, sort of... I think you'd recognise it if you saw it. But I had a phase of using that font for, like, headers.
Mm.
And then copy. I'm like a victim to Poppins.
You can't go wrong with
Poppins. I know everyone hates it, though. It gets a lot of...
It's a Google font, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's because it's a free font, you know? It's, like, any use. Lots of people hate it, though. But I'm a victim to it.
I think it's good for web as well. I think web uses it quite a lot.
Is it just because it's everywhere, like Magnolia Paint? People just go...
Basically.
Like, don't like it. Yeah,
it's legible. Yeah. And it's
legible. I think it's pretty nice. It's pretty neat.
Mm.
Yeah. It is interesting when, you know, if I'm just sort of working in a document and you select all and change the font, you see this sudden change of between legibility.
Is the default font you use in Word, like, have they purposely made it that font because it's more legible, or is it just like they've just gone, yeah, we'll use this font?
I don't know. I think back in the day it was just Times New Roman, but that sort was of just the go-to. Arial, Calibri, those kind of things at the moment.
Yeah, it's just the go-to, isn't it?
What about your favourites, Elise?
Well, I actually have an ampersand tattooed on me in Garamond because it's my favourite.
I probably should know which. Oh my God.
My little ampersand in Garamond.
Yeah.
Yeah, Garamond's my favourite.
Yeah.
I think it's beautiful. I think the whole family is just a really beautiful font. I think it's elegant, classy, everything I aspire to be in life.
Is that a serif?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, serif font. Yeah, I think it's
a bit copper platey kind of thing.
It's like, it's very similar to Baskerville, but I think it's just got a little. I mean, me and Em were saying before, like, we both like Garamond because at university, one of our lecturers was really like, use Garamond, and it's kind of ingrained in our brains now that that's why we love it, because it was always, we get good marks if we used it because she liked it. But
Well,
I think we've both got a love for it now. So yeah, it's just a really clean, crisp font, but has a classy, elegant edge to it. And I think the serifs are really quite beautiful.
Yeah. Serifs are really popular nowadays, though.
They've kind of made a modern serif now. Yeah,
they've
gone
like, they go like, they always like connect them with squiggles.
Yeah,
and...
with like, when they're like with ligatures and things, so it's kind of merges letters.
They're almost condensed as well, aren't they?
Yeah, and there's like really tight.
Yeah. I quite like that style, though.
It's a nice style that's
coming
out. But
I think it can be overdone.
Yeah, I agree.
It can be overdone. I think it might die out soon. Mm. It might be done too much.
What's a ligature?
Ligature's like when two letters merge into one. Oh, so, right. Say like...
they all joins an A.
Or an A and an E. So it'll turn into one glyph when they're next to each other.
Right.
Then, so it's kind of merged. But you can turn the glyphs off and the ligatures off, so you can have the separate letters.
I mentioned free fonts there. So certain fonts have a copyright and like limited usage and things like that.
Yeah.
I did try and look this up in preparation for this podcast. My research only went as deep as Wikipedia, I'm afraid. But it had a sort of a list of sort of legislations in different countries. And some countries you couldn't sort of copyright a font. I think in the UK you can, US you can't. I looked up Switzerland, because.
Yeah.
And that there it says you can't. And I think in the UK it says you can copyright them for 25 years, but...
And then it's just out in the open.
That wasn't my understanding of it, though.
No.
Yeah, I thought that you sort of had to have some sort of license.
Well, I suppose quite a lot of the fonts are now through, like, Adobe. You're paying a subscription-based service, so technically you say it's a free font, but actually you're paying a subscription fee to have the Adobe fonts and them all loaded.
The people on there are probably getting commission if you've uploaded their
font. And I suppose the foundries and like they would then, like Monotype, they're still going today and they're producing, but you have to primarily buy the fonts from Monotype. So I suppose, wasn't there a thing that came out like OTF fonts when Adobe changed and it was like open type fonts?
And then, yeah, I never understood what they are.
I think open, from what I understand, open type fonts are ones that are on the system that can be like outlined and edited. Like you can alter them.
Okay.
So they are free to use. You can edit them. That's an open type font. But then if it's a true type font, TTF, yeah, you have to pay for it.
You have to use it how it is.
Yeah, and there's no no changing it. From what I understand. I've learned something new today. Well, I don't know if that's right for you.
Yeah.
That's what I kind of understand.
So if I wanted to use Helvetica on a book cover or album cover or something like that.
That's licensed, isn't it?
I couldn't just do that.
No, couldn't. You'd have to get it licensed, I think.
Yeah, I'm sure you have to pay for it.
Yeah, I think it is a... Because I don't think it's on Adobe. It's not on Adobe, is it?
Well, I don't know. I think Helvetica New might be. But the original Helvetica...
There are some similar knockoffs, aren't there? I think on like Urban Fonts or whatever.
Just to kind of get around it.
I love doing when you do like Font Finder.
That is brilliant.
And it has like
that website
of just like copies.
Yeah. What does Font Finder do?
So you can screenshot a font and it will try its best to like find the font or a similar font.
Mm.
But a lot of the time it will suggest fonts that are like $300.
And you're just like, what? Like, what? But then people like, go around it by putting in like into Google free yeah. version.
Yeah,
and then probably, that's illegal.
if you get found out, yeah, you can get done.
Yeah,
yeah.
But how many people do it? Like that's the
exactly.
Thing. Like,
it's just
can they chase everyone?
Exactly. It's like downloading something or watching streaming something online illegally, isn't it? It's like, so
I don't do that.
No.
So on sites like urbanfonts.com or was it Defont?
Defont.com. Yeah. I think everything's free on there.
Yeah. And is that just designers just for the pride of it? Just want to.
I think it's for
something.
Personal use, isn't it?
Yeah, I think Defont.com is personal use, but you see a lot of it in like...
It must do. It must be so hard to police as well unless it ends up on some sort of high-profile advert.
Yeah, you'd only police it if a massive company you could probably take to court for it. Yeah. You'd win money, like worth your time.
Yeah, but then I guess with AI, you could probably crawl the internet, find your font, and send bills out.
There's probably a way around it. Yeah.
So, how about making fonts themselves? Have you ever been tempted? And what do we know what the process is?
We did do something at uni where everyone in the print class made one letter. So there was like. I think there was like 32 of us in a class and we each got given a letter and then obviously some people got a couple. So we each did a letter and then we could design it however we wanted, but it had to be just black. So I think, if I remember rightly, I got E because it was my first letter of my name. And then I just, I think I made the E out of like printing different objects and just like inking them up. And then what my lecturer did was then scan everyone's in. And then he had some sort of software on his Mac where you could actually make a typeface. So once with the scan, you then kind of whack the contrast up to then just make it isolated black. And then he had to like manually, every time he wrote something, like he programmed it into the Mac software, made it into a font. But obviously as you're typing it, where people have done it different sizes, it then looked like this horrendous kind of newspaper clipping font. But
ransom note.
It was like a ransom note. But there was this whole software was just way over my head. Like you had to work out the dimensions of it and make sure it was all to scale and the kerning of each letter. So it's just so much to think about.
Yeah. It's the ability to scale them up and down.
Yeah.
Once it gets to process. Very few pixels,
it's insane.
It's sort of stop making sense at some point.
You see, like, I follow people on like Twitter who make like fonts and then they'll be making the same font for like 5 months. I think it's such a long process. Yeah. Like,
that is someone's job.
I'd ever have the time to do it.
Yeah. It's like, that is a job, isn't it? Like a type designer.
You've got to pray that it does well.
Yeah,
I think I spoke to our colleague Matt once about whether he had a go at it, and I think he said that you sort of started and just yeah. realised that it's just a massive job.
Yeah, yeah, it's a minefield. There's so much mathematics in it, I suppose, isn't there, really?
Yeah, don't think I'd ever have the time or even consider doing it.
So what about the use of fonts? What are the sort of beginner's mistakes and the do's and don'ts? And...
Too many fonts. Stretching many it, fonts. Squishing it.
Yes.
You see that a lot, like the stretch and squish.
Yeah, just skewing it so it just doesn't, it's just illegible.
Yeah.
Unless that's the reason why you have designed it that way and you're using it in that way and that's how you've designed it, go for it. But primarily, I wouldn't.
Yeah. Oh, it doesn't fit the page. No, I'm not going to make it smaller. I'll just squish it
in.
Yeah. And you can tell, like, and they even do that with the copy as well, and, like the paragraph.
I think word art sort of turned up when I was in my teens and everyone went mad on that. Like, school notice boards were like full of things. Oh, like,
gosh, yeah, like the rainbows and stuff. Like,
yeah, things, and so. Yeah, distortions and yeah. yeah, distortions around a circle. And
yeah, but you see that now.
I suppose with it's that, it's, yeah. It's,
sometimes you see it, it's purposefully done, though.
Exactly. There's got to be a time and a place for yeah. it. Like, if you're communicating, that's what you want to communicate, then go for it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there's a time and a place for certain things. I'm trying to think
what I would have done when I began out. Definitely using too many fonts on one page.
Yeah, I think, what would be your go-to? Because I kind of go 2 to 3, 3 at a push maximum.
Yeah, but, I'd say 2 to 3. You yeah. have like a header type, header font and stuff, and like a subheader font.
Yeah.
And then you have your copy font, and then maybe you might have like a little note that goes on the side in like a different font.
Yeah. yeah. So it's like within the same family, because I kind of try and stick to a family of fonts, so they're all different weights.
I guess, yeah. Well, I was thinking of font as different.
Yeah.
Different typefaces.
Typefaces, yeah. 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 So yeah, I might have. Yeah, I'd say 2 typefaces to 3 typefaces, depending. Yeah. But, like, probably 2 most of the time.
Yeah.
You'd have a different weight for the header, different exactly. weight for the subtitle. They will different weight for the copy. And then you might have another typeface for, like, a note on the side or something, highlighting something.
Yeah, so, like a caption or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I suppose it's then, it goes back to hierarchy, doesn't it? Like, yeah. type hierarchy is, like, really important.
Yeah, massively important.
Oh, just side issue, block caps versus sentence case versus lowercase, stuff like that. Whose responsibility is it? Is it a copywriter's responsibility or a designer's responsibility?
I think 75-25 copywriter. I think it's a copywriter, obviously. I don't want to throw shade at you.
Shade.
I don't say shade. I'm just saying, like, I think, yeah, obviously, it's like their choice and how it's laid out.
Yeah.
But I think that sometimes the designer might think it's a good idea to have it displayed like that, maybe. Yeah. That's when you communicate. But I'd say it's mostly with the copywriter.
Yeah.
I would agree, I think.
Mm. I think communicates the word, isn't it? And also it's massively dependent on context. It,
yeah.
You know, are we talking about a magazine cover?
Yeah.
Are we talking about working with a business that has brand guidelines?
Yeah.
I guess it's about the coming up with the brand guidelines, isn't it? Which is a sort of copywriter designer partnership where you sort of
yeah.
come up with,
like, your tone of voice,
what you do when and where. Yeah. yeah.
If you're shouting.
Exactly. yeah. I suppose when I'm given things by clients and they're like, right, we want this copy on this, I literally take it and I put it in, but there I will read through it. And if there's some areas that I want to emphasize,
you don't have a copywriter, do you?
No,
so you have to sort of do it on your own accord.
They come and see me,
yeah,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, Danny, we need some copy to fill this space.
If do you think there is cases where you do just use your own initiative?
Yeah, I think that's being a graphic designer, you need to have some kind of brain for English with spelling and things, just to kind of know, okay, sentence case, okay, let's change that, okay, that's an emphasis, let's make that a caption. Because you do have to read, if when there's a lot of copy given by a customer and you're like, wow, I've got to put this in and make it look good, you do pick out parts, because and you have to, so in a way you are learning as well, because sometimes you're doing a leaflet on something you don't even know about, and you're like, oh, that's interesting, I'll pull that part out as a quote, or make that like a drop cap or something. Mm. So, yeah.
What I find a lot as a copywriter is people come to you for the rules, like what it's supposed to be. And there's so many instances where there was a rule, or there was a rule when I was at school, but, you know, common usage has moved on so much that you'd just be really stuffy and, you know, it sound either too formal or too old-fashioned to do it the right way. You know, so you have to kind of sort of say, people want an answer. They want a black and white. What is it? And sometimes, well, it depends.
Yeah, it does.
This thing's come over from America and more people use that. And we could just say these are the rules, but we'll
you sound want to push it a bit, don't you?
Yeah. What about in terms of the beginner's mistakes and stuff like that? What about kerning and what is kerning?
I don't think I ever touched it.
Really?
I didn't really know about it. Like, that's kerning when you bring it in, right?
Yes, the spaces.
So I did touch it, but I didn't know much about it. I would just think, oh, kern this, it'll look nice. Not like, okay, I should kern it here because it'll be more legible, or it just makes the space look nice. It would just be, I'd kern it because I think, oh, that might look cool.
Yeah.
But like,
and by that, do you mean condense it or?
Widen it.
Yeah.
Sometimes you'd like widen it. If you have a magazine, you might have it fully widened and then you have the subtitle sort of the same width as it. Sometimes it looks nice.
Yeah.
But yeah, Matt's taught me a lot about kerning and leading and all that.
Oh, it's just like a whole new world, isn't it?
Yeah.
So kerning's the space between letters and then leading is the space between
up and down.
Like the sentences.
And sometimes you might even want to kern two letters in a word.
Yeah, because quite a lot of fonts, if you change it from metrics or is it metrics or optical, you can then change you can just alter certain characters. And most fonts aren't kerned correctly.
Right.
Yeah. And you have to manually
they're not quite right.
Yeah. To a designer's eye, like, you can go, oh, that's off, and you kern it, and then, but I suppose most people would just go over their head. Right. But I just naturally notice things now. I don't know if you do as well, and you're like, oh, that's kerned wrong. Like, makes me a bit twitchy.
I don't think I've got the perfect eye for it yet. I think
you will.
I think that'll come with time.
Yeah, I mean, there's still times Richard shows me things. I'm like, it's fine, and he's like, no, it's not kerned correctly.
With that, I've designed something. Oh, this is looking wonderful. And then I'm like, she kerned that.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, really? And you'll show me, and I'll be like, oh, that's why.
But then you naturally will look for it.
Yeah, yeah.
Going forward.
I notice I do.
Because there's been quite a lot of things you see just out in the open when you're walking around, and there's posters and like big companies that do things, and you think, wow, why didn't you kern that? That reads awful.
Who did you hire?
Yeah, exactly. And like some characters, when they're squished together, it doesn't even read that word.
Yeah.
You're like, what?
So why isn't it just X number of millimetres or nanometres between every letter? Why don't you just say it's that and that's what it is?
Some letters are different heights and different widths.
It's the different...
It's just all got to look balanced, I guess.
Yeah, I suppose it's just to the eye, and loads of all different fonts have the different weights and X heights, and it all runs on a baseline, but depending on the size of the stem and the counters, it all alters the legibility of it. So
I think it'd also remove character.
Yeah.
If you did that for every design, there'd be no character in the design.
But then it would turn into a monospaced typeface, so it's just literally the same width.
Yeah.
Like a grid.
Right.
Yeah.
So if you're seeing like two L's together versus two O's together, is the distance, the way that you perceive it with the eye, I'd imagine you could probably get away with O's being closer than L's, or is it the other way around?
I suppose it depends on the font as well, because it depends on the weight of the font. If that O is quite, like, impact, it's going to be a lot wider, so you'd need some breathing room between each of the O's rather than two L's. I suppose it depends on what the font is.
Because the L's, obviously, they have that massive gap, don't they?
Yeah.
So, like, users... But it does depend a lot on the font.
Yeah. For listeners at home, our fingers are doing a lot of hard work here. We're
just kind of imagine it.
You're just going to have to imagine that, I'm afraid.
I think another one is, for me, centralised text. There is a time and a place for centralised text.
Well, you don't like it, or you do?
I mean,
this small, like a hit and miss.
Yeah, it's a hit and miss.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, I mean, I think it's a go-to for a lot of people because it's like, oh, it's symmetrical, it looks neat.
It's boring.
But when you get a lot of copy in centralized text, or it's one thing with all different centralized text in different columns, it's just the legibility goes out the window.
Yeah.
Yeah. You gotta try and avoid it. I like doing like left aligned and then you go to the right aligned or something.
See, just... that's the other thing. If you stick with one alignment, I feel like you need to be consistent all the way through.
Really? So yeah. You could have half a page. Say the top half's left aligned, and you have an image to the right, and then you go, oh, I'm going to right line here and have an image to the left.
No, see, I can't.
So you'd have the whole thing left aligned.
I'd find ways to work columns around it. To...
Yeah, maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, that's just how I work. I just, yeah, if I stick with one thing, I make sure it's consistent all the way.
Can I have like left aligned, right aligned, left aligned?
Oh my God, no! That makes me twitchy.
Right. Never start with right aligned. I would never start with right aligned.
I don't think I've ever used right aligned.
Really?
No.
I think it's quite useful. I think it's quite amazing.
After this, I want to see this. I want to see a design where you've used both, like, two different alignments.
I can't think of any of this off my head, but I definitely do use it here and there. I think it's quite nice.
I want to see this.
And is it fully justified or something? What is it where you have
justified
lines
text.
In a straight line. Yeah.
And it's like the letter spacing is
crazy.
Just to fit the dimensions of that width, isn't it?
You might have three words in a column with massive spaces.
Yeah.
And that's when you do like, I think ragged lines works better.
Oh God. That's a whole new thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like having ragged text and widows and orphans.
Yeah,
and...
widows, yeah.
Yeah.
Bloody hell, I remember not even touching InDesign and like not even knowing about that, so.
Yeah.
But yeah.
It's a whole new world, Danny.
Less justifying can just be...
And that leaves ragged ends to the different lengths of the lines.
Yeah, so like it will try and make it look a bit more smoother, I guess, right?
Yeah, so it's not just so like when you've got a... like the second sentence might be longer than the third and then the fourth one comes out, then it's just like you have to soft return it and read it, whereas a natural pause... Yeah. Return it so it just looks like a nice, neater shape.
Presumably, the thinner the columns, the harder it is.
Yeah. And then it kind of leaves widows and orphans, which are like one sentence at the top of a paragraph on its own or one word at the bottom, and it just kind of sits there. Word. No, that's a big no-no for typography.
Well, that has been an absolutely fascinating discussion of typefaces. More fascinating than I thought it was going to be, if I'm going to be quite honest. But yeah, there's so much to it that I hadn't realised. But if you have any thoughts, experiences or questions that you'd like to share, don't hesitate to reach out via the Solar Press YouTube channel or your preferred streaming platform. Or our social media channels, any of the Solar Press social media channels. Your feedback's invaluable to us, so please remember to like and subscribe and leave a comment if you've enjoyed our conversation or if you want to tell us that we got something wrong. This has been a Solar Press podcast brought to you by Poppy Productions. Thank you for listening, and we hope you'll join us again for more Grappling with Graphics. Thank you.